So we'll start with some nuts and bolts about how we run the sanitarium, and then we'll go into some scientific data, some studies we've done with Loma Linda. And also I would like to share with you some new developments. I believe you know that, I don't know if I stressed enough the idea that the Lifestyle Center and the whole program in Romania started in very close cooperation with the church. But in the same time, we always had an eye for the community. Unfortunately, we are not, although we think that we are the chosen people, and sometimes we act like that, much of the information and what we do right now is not anymore copyrighted Adventist, copyrighted. There are many people outside who have the same vision, and we need to have an eye and have cooperation with them and work with them, not think that we have everything and we don't need any wisdom. So I guess with those things in mind, let's look to some of the data about the patients. Like I said, we had in 2010 a total of 1,108 patients in 23 sessions. Most of them were Romanians. Adventists, 260, non-Adventists, 845. About 24% then are Adventists, and three-fourths are non-Adventists. The average patients per session are 48. What happens is that some people would like to stay alone in the room, and they are willing to pay for that. And probably we will see as things are developing and people are have more pretense, and you know they want to stay alone. They are not so happy to share a room with somebody unknown. So new patients, 76%, alumni, 24%. So that's what is taking place, what was taken place last year, and this year probably it's pretty much the same. We've been full all the time. Here you have some ideas. I guess I have these slides in English. Yeah. So I'll explain to you this bar. The bigger bar is the salaries, and then the rest are different expenses. This is the kitchen expenses right here. I'm sorry that, you know, looks like it got mixed up in the translation from PC to Mac. But anyway, maybe this is not so important. Another thing which I was asked was about a comparison between the salaries at Ergelia and outside. Now, of course, you know, this is the net income. Beside this, there is another 50%, which includes health insurance and other things which we also pay to the state. So the figure is bigger. And then we don't include in this some of the benefits. So probably at the end of the day, this goes higher, maybe somewhere here. But still, you see that the more you are trained, the less you get, comparing with what is outside in the world. And this is not always bad, because if you look around, I have this feeling that if they will shut the doors of the sanitarium, we can't with the core team of people, we can start almost everything, and there will be probably a success. Because, you know, you attract that kind of people. If a physician will stay with you, if an accountant will stay with you, they will stay because they feel that God is calling them, and they have that deep, not feeling, that's more than feeling, it's assurance that they are there because God called them. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, that US dollars per month. Well, you know how it is, you know. Of course, the salaries are low, but some of the expenses are low also, so give and take.
Or the date, can you just read a couple of those? The nurses, the doctors, the president, just, you know, don't pay.
So somebody who is working on the farm, but not, I'm not talking about the farm manager, he receives more. It's about 200 plus, and then the cook 220, driver 240, therapist 245, secretary 255, nurse 260, doctors 325, manager pretty much the same, and of course the president a little bit more, 340. But as I said, you may add another 100 or 100 something, which are benefits which are not shown here. Do we have questions so far? Or we'll take a question at the end. I would like to show you some data about a study we've done with the help of Loma Linda. The idea was this. We have obtained wonderful results in the patient's health, and this happens all across the United States and other institutions. But one question still was there was that maybe because self-selection and the hand-picking bias, those results weren't valid, really. And so we thought of a randomized controlled study, which we've done from 2006 to 2007, and in which actually we went in three plants. They were from anywhere from workers with their hands, building, construction, to engineers. So everything which is in company was represented to our study, and then there were two other companies or some tailoring companies. So we went there, we gave them a questionnaire, and then we randomized. I'll show you immediately the design. I just wanted to show you that the idea of a sanitarium shouldn't be given up right now, because it's such a powerful trend in nutrition, in the big guys. You see, this is the new dietary guideline, and this is the Harvard dietary guideline, and you see what a difference. What a difference is not only grain, it's whole grain, it's not protein, it's healthy protein, it's not milk, it's water. So I'm telling my students they shouldn't waste time to second-hand websites. I tell them, go to Loma Linda, go to Harvard if you want to be top in nutrition. And so we have all the scientific backing for such a program we need. I had, but I scrapped. You cannot see it. I guess I will give the presentation so you can find the quotation or the citations. Nowadays, you will find in circulation articles which sounds like cookbooks, Adventist cookbooks, which is interesting. This is the kind of diet we give, some of the treatments, physical therapy. Lecture is very much a part of our program. We have about 2.5-3 hours of health education, of which one is cooking class. As I said, you know, in a regular session, we had these kind of results, people who came with a cholesterol over 200. Here is, you know, the medium 240. They dropped 25%, and triglycerides and glycemia and so on and so forth. But the question was, is this valid for the total population, for the population outside? So we've done this study in which we gave this simple questionnaire to assess the cardiovascular risk to 250 people. And so some didn't sign the informed consent, some didn't meet the criteria, and finally we ended up with 130 people. We didn't want to have smokers because, you know, there is a lot of compounding when you have smokers, but you know, we are Christians, so we included them in the study. And so we had, finally, after randomization, we had 50 people who came to Hergelia for 10 days, and 50 people who stayed. But of course, we measure everything on the first day and 10 day, and then we measure again on the 45 days. We wanted to see if there is a time when people are more sensible to relapse. in their old way, because we thought that maybe that's the time to send a letter out to help them, to encourage them, or to make a phone call or something like that. Here you have, we were thinking of 10 days because the Bible, you know, Daniel, 10 days, how good they looked after 10 days. So we said, let's do it for 10 days. And this is the diet we had, and everything which is underlined is good for your heart. It's protective, and so we done some statistics. Floyd Peterson from Loma Linda helped us with that. Actually, he traveled to Romania several times, and these are the results for the treatment group after 10 days. And you see that all of the results are highly significant statistically. This is a little bit harder to read, so I usually translate this for average people, which is not the case here, but when I present this to patients, they have to understand a little bit in a simpler form. And so they dropped an average of 1.6 kilos, you know, on average. Of course, there were people who dropped more than that. The total cholesterol dropped 31% in this group. Then the HDL dropped, and some people ask why. Right? Because it's part of the total cholesterol, and when you have such a big drop, it's just normal to drop. But then we look to the ratio of total cholesterol to HDL and actually improved. And then the LDL, of course, is the bigger fraction of total cholesterol. Dropped quite significantly. I mean, actually, highly statistically significant. But it came close to what is considered normal for healthy people. Triglycerides dropped from 115 to 90, and then glycemia dropped from 105 to 79.8. Systolic blood pressure dropped from 135 to 117, which is, you know, pretty much what we have just by getting on a vegetarian diet. Your blood your systolic blood pressure will drop 7 or 8 millimeters. So these were the results, and it was very clearly it was a difference, statistically significant difference between the two groups. And I will show you something interesting which we didn't like happened. I mean, we didn't like as scientists, but we liked as public health professionals. Here you have some data looking at day 1, 45, 6 months, and 1 year. And you see that it was statistically significant until the 6 month, but then it wasn't. This is for blood sugar at 1 year, and this we are talking about the treatment group, but it's very interesting that in the control group they had the same good results, not so good after 10 days, but pretty much good results, and they still after 1 year they were highly statistically significant difference between what was then and when they start the baseline. For the cholesterol, you see it's the same pattern in the treatment group, the same pattern in the control group. And I won't go any more into those data. I just want to show you some graphs. This is not the most correct kind of graphs, but this helps us to see where we started. And this blue is the treatment group, and we see that here there was a big difference, but then in time, usually after 45 days, the two groups were not any more different. They had pretty much the same values. But what was interesting and not so good from the research standpoint was that we didn't find these differences after 45 days. We were anticipating some contamination will take place because people who come probably communicated with those who didn't come. Those who didn't come were curious to see how the program went, because in the beginning everybody hoped that they will come to Hergelia for free 10 days. And so they communicated, they exchanged ideas, but it seems like the contamination it was much bigger than we anticipated. And that's good for our program. If the people we treat at Hergelia, they go home and contaminate their family and their co-workers, this is very good for public health. So you see the cholesterol HDL ratio pretty much it's similar in these two groups. Diastolic blood pressure, HDL, then the heart rate, LDL. Here it was still the difference between the two groups was statistically significant, but then at 6 months there was not statistically significant the difference. Okay. It's very interesting that in the last 10 years or so, we kind of realized that it takes less than 1 year to make changes, to see changes, and to have the risk for MI change in a short time. They say this is an article in 2009, they say less than a month, but we believe what we see is that in several days after the first week, you see quite a change. And I'm talking, we focused on heart disease patients. And I believe that there is an early stage of reversibility, and that's about inflammation. After several days, great improvement happens in the way the blood flow, in the inflammation. And then, there is a late stage in which the arteries open up, and we know that that's not a lot. It's maybe 5%, but that means 25 to 30 percent increase in the blood flow. I will give you these slides, so I don't go over them. We don't have the time. I just like these slides about inflammation, which is worth 1,000 words. It's comparing the inflammation in the artery with the inflammation in the joints. And then the Spirit of Prophecy talks about inflammation of the blood, and maybe 30 or 40 years people would have laughed about this concept, but now we know it's true. So, do you have questions about this study? Yes. No, when we saw that something is wrong with them, like high cholesterol or high glycemia, we told them to get in touch with their personal physician, family physician, and we told them that that's not healthy. It's
so they made some changes, but not like the changes you administered to the people in the experimental group. Is that correct?
No. Yeah.
They did whatever they did. They made some changes.
Yeah. And we suspect that they communicated, and of course there is a change people make when you observe them. But then beyond that, I guess there was more to it. They discussed together and they made some changes.
Yeah.
Like the treatment group.
I saw a slide there where you were using AGE issues. Was that related to this study? Advanced glycated end products. I saw a slide and you went by it quickly.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We didn't measure in this
okay.
study. I just
right.
put it there because it's, there was a quotation in the Spirit of Prophecy about it, and now I think we understand more about how that works.
Yeah, okay.
In your sister's presentation, she mentioned that to begin a lifestyle center, you went by the slide rather quickly, but it was on the slide that begin with a group. If in the beginning of this center, how would you recommend starting one of these?
Well, I have a whole presentation about how to start a sanitarium, but the time is not conducive to have that. So I have in my material some glimpses of that, but I just put together some quotations for you here about the fact that what my sister says, we really need to make some adjustments to the way we, and maybe physicians are ready for this. Some other people are not so ready. When we come up to the adjustment, the test question will not be, did you preach the third angel's message? Did you give Bible readings? But did you feed the hungry? Clothe the naked? Because these are fundamental things. While the other things are matters which naturally grow out of these fundamental things. And this is again a quotation for Dr. Kellogg's presentation. And I think he was right. And I want to get to your question. I guess the first stage is preparation and culture. It takes preparation, like in the medicine. If you want to be a surgeon, you cannot just pop up and do a surgery. You have to spend years learning from other surgeons, and then hopefully one day you can do it. And as Magdalena stressed, that there was a preparation. God is preparing other people. Don't worry that he will put the burden only on one people. His plans are a long time ago finished, and he knows maybe he has several plans in place if people don't cooperate. And then the other thing is culture. I think I cannot stress enough that we need to be in touch with the world we live in. Now, that doesn't mean to spend all our time on computers and on Yahoo News, but to be in touch with what happens. And I believe, maybe probably I won't be invited again, but I think God inspires other people. If us, whoever is us, are slow to react, he will inspire other people outside our ranks, because he is not a respecter of person. And so we need to get in touch, and we need to be attuned with what's happening out there, and we need to learn all the time. And then the second thing, which I think is very important, is the sense of high calling. Without this sense of high calling, then we get into all this discussion, which is very rational, but it's totally wrong. And you think, how in the world a physician who has $250,000 debt, and he has this idea to get into such a world where, of course, they probably here in the United States more than $350 or $400. But anyway, with that kind of payment, you cannot pay your debts. But this is beside the point. This kind of discussion goes on when there is not a higher calling. And when there is a higher calling, then I put some quotations for you. In the Spirit of Prophecy, says the will which align with God's will becomes omnipotent. So what means omnipotent? That means that $250,000 is peanuts, because omnipotent is, expect that the Lord will work in and by through you. By and through you. Men can shape circumstances, but circumstances should not be allowed to shape the man. Men of power are those who have been opposed, baffled, and thwarted. And then, the idea that God has an appointed place for each one, to every nation, to every individual, God has assigned a place in his great plan. This is not Calvinism. We can't say no. Every man has his place in the eternal plan of heaven. whether we will feed that place depends upon our own faithfulness in cooperating with God. And then I guess another thing is singleness of purpose. When you have three or four other plans beside this one work, when your plan is just this plan, then begins to work. And there is another. These are answer to the questions I felt or in the air talking with some of you. And that's, you know, how do you know really that God is calling me? I had this idea. I would like, you know, I have some hurdles, but how in the world I know? And the Spirit of Prophecy says that there are three ways in which the Lord reveals His will to us, to guide us and to fit us, to guide others. The first way, God reveals His will to us in His Word, in the Holy Scriptures. As to you read, God can talk to you very directly. The second way is His voice is also revealed in His providential workings. So if we are with Him, and as Jesus said, if somebody wants to go to know my Father's will, he needs to act. He needs to start doing. But when you see doors opening, which are unmistakable, opened by God, like, you know, when we just started the Lifestyle Center and we didn't have money and we had to do canning. You mean we didn't have any cost score at that time. We have now. So I only had one and a half worth of salaries put aside. As a young manager, I thought that's holy money, you shouldn't touch. But then, you know, finally we had to make the decision, you know, whether we want to have something to feed the patients during the winter, and we went for that, give the money. The administrator left, and at 3 o'clock, a gentleman from Austria showed up. I don't know the guy, he didn't know us, and he told us the story afterwards, after he put a lot of questions about how these things were we run. And he said, you know, I came here because I sold the car. The car was in the market for many months, didn't want to sell it because it was a good car. I came across a small announcement that Hevgelia will open, and somehow God put in my mind this idea that I need to help. And so I said, God, you know, if you want me to help, this is the car. I gave all the money to Hevgelia, but for me the sign is that I won't lower the price. I want the price, you know, the car is worthy. And he said in several days the car sold and I came with the money. So the money he brought at that time there was the worth of our salaries for 1 year. Such a great encouragement in the very day when we gave up, you know, our security for the 1.5 month ahead, God sent security for 1 year. So this is providential working. And the third way is our impressions. Of course, we shouldn't base our, you know, walking with the Lord in our impressions, but impressions are also important. I will leave this for you. But then another danger, and you know, by this you kind of select the people you want to call with you on this road. Human wisdom will lead away from self-denial, from consecration, and will devise many things that tend to make of no effect God's message. We are talking about human wisdom, of the rational things, you know, one by one is two, and so I cannot do it. But this is the truth. But we have the promise, those who surrender lives to His guidance and to His service will never be placed in a position for which He has not made provision. Whatever our situation, if we are doers of His word, we have a guide to direct our way. Whatever our perplexities, we have a sure counselor. Whatever our sorrow or loneliness, we have a sympathizing friend. You have more quotation. I don't have the time to go. But, you know, one thing is this, perplexities are here to stay. So if we wait for a time when there will be no perplexity, better time to start sanitarium, then Dean Ornish will start them and other people will start them. For them it's good, for them it's the time. For us, no, it's past, it's impossible. Into the daily life, this is from Review and Herald, 1910. Into the daily life, there come many perplexing problems that we cannot solve. There are those that wish to adjust every difficulty and to settle every question before they begin to work. Such will surely fail. In the end, the future will be just as indistinct and the problems just as perplexing as when they began to speculate about them. It is in the following light given that we receive greater light. Those who go forward in faith will find the solution of the problems that perplex them. Light will shine on the pathway of the workers who go forward without questioning. Now, this is not, you know, I'm teaching students science. Now, this is not making plans. When you make plans for a sanitarium, you need to think not only to build it. Sometimes you build it with so bad materials that 20 or 30 years ago ahead, people will suffer because it was not built correctly. And it's a huge investment to rebuild that thing. So you have to sit down to think about it, to think how to maintain them. But this is about a different question. The questioning that what God said that it needs to be done, needs to be near every big city, we question and say, well, maybe the times changed, God didn't think of this about the crisis and so on and so forth. You may not see the end from the beginning, but move forward at the call of God. Perplexities may surround you. Others may tell you of the lions in the way. Oh, there are many others who will tell you this. But nevertheless, go forward saying, the Lord wants this work done, and I will act my part faithfully. I will not fail nor be discouraged. Now, there are, rumors circulating, Mark Twain said, the rumors about my death are highly exaggerated. And this is, about Wildwood, Weimar, and so on and so forth. But look at the beginning of the war. Sister White had so many problems. The pioneers had so many problems, and God blessed them so much. But they still had problems. They still went to go sometimes without eating well. Brother James White went to the $1 a day, and then put some of the money in. So if they have problems, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't open other lifestyle centers. That's deadly wrong. And then, I have some quotations from giving them to eat from Desire of Ages. That's just a tremendous chapter, giving them to eat. When you are down, that's the chapter to read. And about the essential of forming a team, I believe the most important thing is to have the same religious and philosophical platform, same method in interpreting the inspiration. Even if it's wrong, then you still can go forward. but if you have all kinds of people, some of them liberal, some conservator, which I like, I love all of them, but just for purpose of the question, it's so important to have the same understanding. At Hegelia, when we have a question, we open the books. Many people think that they're outdated, but we go to the books and we settle the question. And everybody agree on that because that's the last word. So we don't have a lot of discussions. How to find out if one is on the same page? Well, we have sometimes to just hire people. We prefer to hire the people who go to the medical missionary school, and that's one of the main reasons every institution should have something like this. I'm so happy that Wildwood is thriving. They have 230 applications for 30 places. So they cannot really take all the students who wish to go to Wildwood. But it's important to spend time with the people, to study together. So when you study the book, you really realize, the method of interpretation other people have. To pray together. Prayer is so important. To work together on preliminary projects, on small projects, to see how it flies. And then involve outside knowledge workers and counselors, leaders. And I believe that I have an advice that to associate with and study successful people who were able to develop a team and survive the honeymoon period at least 5 years. I was so pained when I saw new institution raising up in the United States and they didn't have connection with the older institution. And, they started with, we'll be the best, we'll do this, we'll do that, and several years down the line, they disappear. And this is a pain. And, the more we associate with each other And I think, you know, even now at Loma Linda, when I was a student in 90, you know, they had a kind of, you know, they were suspicious about Reamer. But right now, you know, that changed. And, you know, what's happening outside the church really helps us change our view. And there is such a favorable view now of Loma Linda. Loma Linda should work with Reamer. I said that last year. Reamer should be a showcase. You know, I'm saying this because Loma Linda is a little bit too far from Wildwood. I would like that to happen with Wildwood also. But, you know, we need to start somewhere. So if we start with Reamer and we can show, and then part of that I suggested that we all physicians, we send 2 or 3 patients, which is not a lot, to Reamer. So they will have plenty of patients. Actually, the whole church should embark in this to send patients. These institutions shouldn't be left by their own. And then, you know, in several years, we can produce so much research. But, you know, if we don't do it, Dean Orange and other people will do it. Sorry. And also, it's important to have different people. Don't put in a team people who are very much alike. Very different people will do a good team. Then don't call in accountants very early, because accountants can be a big hurdle. They are very good when in the terms of management, when things are going well, but because they will tell you that it's impossible. And then, you know, all this is about counseling. I cannot stress, even if we hear that Wildwood or Reamer have some struggles, like every good family has struggles, they still have a wealth of information, and we need, if we want to start, that's where to start, to visit them, to stay with them. We shouldn't be bothered about the pants or the whatever. Some people just feel that they need to be more conservative, and that's fine, but we need to go and to learn how much we can from them, and then God will inspire how to do it. And another thing is setting up the right organization. I advise those who want to start something to read by themselves. Don't give it to a lawyer. It's so important to have a good bylaws. And it's so important that the whole structure. Personally, I believe we are living... I'm not in the church boards. I am in enough boards not to be in the church boards, but I suspect that's what is going on in the church boards also. I think there is a great dysfunctionalities on many of the boards we have. And I cannot go into that, but it's very good to learn, to read about this. There is a wealth of information about how boards should be set up and what kind of people to put in the boards and what should be their involvement. Boards should be proactive, not reactive, not just reactive to what's happening and to be cheerleaders or rubber stamping. We have this culture in the Adventists that we like strong leaders and we kind of go along with them, but this is not healthy. So thoughts should be given to this. That means to read a lot, not just give it to somebody who is expert, because nobody is expert in really starting such a thing. And then, of course, everybody heard about this, but this is so important. When you make a proposal to ESI or to some other for a project, it helps you to focus on your mission. And once you, or the mission of that small project, once you focus on that and you have the vision and the mission, then all the rest kind of flows. So it's not just an exercise because everybody is doing out there. It's so important to do it. And then another thing is networking with church, with OCI, with ASI, with Loma Linda University. We had a vision. It was there in Romania. We had a sense of mission. But if it were for Bildal, who came when nobody wanted to come in Romania, there was still unsettling. And then if it weren't for Wildwood, who allowed Chuck Cleveland to get involved, and Brother Atwood was and still is the president there, and it weren't for Trashis from Luchy Pines who helped us train, and it weren't for Loma Linda University, Dr. Hardinge, Dr. Behrens, Dr. Hart, we would have not been where we are. So it takes a lot of networking, and it pains my heart when I see that doesn't happen, and, you know, I I will tell again to Neil Medley, he's still not in OCI. I want to see him, you know, closer to Wildwood and to these other institutions. And here you have a few quotations about that, the fact that we are in the web of humanity and everything affects us. What you do affects me and what I'm doing affects you. And I cannot stress enough to press together. Sometimes there is a tension between us and the pastors, and the pastors, of course, many times they anesthetize themselves with Kellogg. You know, that says it, and so they bypass medical missionary work because Kellogg. But when you take time to explain to the pastors and to the church what you are doing, and when they see the efficiency, actually right now in Romania, the church is planning and encouraging at least one lifestyle center in every conference. We have 6 conferences. So that's great. And already the second is working. 2 years ago it started, and then there are 4 or 5 others in the making. What is really essential in a sanitarium, I guess if you boil it to the essential, is quality time spent with the patients. Now, if you can do it in the office, that's fine. You stay there and work as a physician in the office and do it. If you can spend with the patient 1 hour or whatever it takes, you know, stay where you are. But if God calls you, this is the place where you really can spend time with the patient. And this is what people appreciate. In this world when nobody has time for you, they really are shocked to see that there is a place where people can spend time with them. I'll give you the quotations here. And, you know, this is also why maybe some people get tired quoting you, Sister White, so I quoted this on these lectures, Kellogg's. So he said that people come with long faces and sad, their cheek pales, looking the picture of despair. And then, you know, when they are new, when they are healed, or at least, you know, with a chronic disease is not really a total healing, but it's a reversal. To such a man, the whole world is open up on you. He is in the most receptive state of mind. He's ready to listen to all you have to say to him about the gospel of Christ, which will heal his soul as well as your remedies have cured his body. So this is really happens there. And then it says, sanitarium, it has grown because medical missionary work has so much innate vitality. A medical missionary sanitarium will flourish almost anywhere on earth. Now, this is not spirit of prophecy, but I have, you know, you are acquainted with quotations which are similar, and I guess he kind of is quoting that. It will take care of itself, which is so much different than an evangelistic campaign or, you know, some other evangelistic endeavors where you really have to spend quite a bit of time. People don't pay you when they come to the, you know, the church. It will take care of itself with a reasonable chance because there is always a demand for this work and it is appreciated. The biggest impact, like my sister said, is the atmosphere. And atmosphere, you know, is very hard to convey in words, but pretty much is the milieu of work, you know, of the relationship between the workers and the worker and patient. You know, they will feel it. And that's the reason why we take 1 hour every morning. Although, you know, many times we were tempted to scrap that hour in which we all together come together for prayer and study the word. And, you know, if you fight, you know, sometimes, you know, like in every good family, we fight. And you go out and want to take care of a patient. You know, they will feel your state of mind. Because we invite them to be part of the family, they become part of the family. They stick their nose everywhere. And so if there is not that thing, you know, which you have to solve all the problems, because, you know, they will soon discover you and they will discover that you are a bunch of hypocrites. And you don't want that. Because, you know, we are not hypocrites. We love the God, Lord. We came there with a purpose, but sometimes we bump each other. So we need to solve that. So when we go to the patient, we'll have the right state of mind to minister. And I think this the atmosphere is such an important thing. If you lose that, and then I talked about open mentality. The sanitarium should be like the Adventist movement. I hope we will keep that to be a sanitarium movement in which you are not content. You look, you know, Taco Bell. They change every so often, you know, the paper. You know, the bean burrito is the same, but the paper, the everything, they change every 3 months. You know, it's something in our world which asks for change, and we need to be in tune with this, and we need to have an open mentality. We see what's out there, and we adopt the new methods and new approaches. Somebody needs to read in the institution what's taking place. Just the other day, you know, they came with this research that probably, you know, to lose weight, you need to have 15% protein in your diet. So, you know, the scientists say, well, more studies are needed. But before more studies on this comes, you still can go a little bit a step further and give them more beans or whatever to have more protein. So read everything new in nutrition, physical therapy, lifestyle medicine, behavioral sciences, and apply it quickly. And you know, I appreciate, ever since I landed in Wildwood, you know, I know Dr. Brunel, he's here. He was studying, and he showed me Medline was very new in the 90s, early 90s, and everything new, and then they talked at the, and people think that Wildwood is old, but, you know, they have the newest information. And then another thing is, you need to have comfort. The Spirit of Prophecy says no luxury but comfort. So if your comfort is not comparable with home, people will tend not to come because, you know, it's so they pay money and they want to rest. And after a certain age, you know, after 45, 50, you look for comfort. If there is no comfort, then you don't come. So we need to upgrade our sanitariums, our living environment to be currently comfortable. There are so many to tell. But please, some questions.
So we've got 20 minutes left, and what I want to do
there are 20 minutes, so 20. I thought only five, but because
what I want to do is
I needed to tell a few words about our involvement with the university.
Okay, let's give you 5 more minutes, then 15 minutes for questions. Is that okay?
Okay, thank you for bringing order in this. Another exciting event which happened was that about 3 years ago, a professor from the medical university in Târgu Mureș, that's a city about 10 miles away from Hergelia, called me and said that we heard that you had a training in Loma Linda University in nutrition. We need some help. So I went down and see her. She was a professor of histology, no connection with nutrition, but the way it goes in the universities, the president asked this professor to set up a curriculum because they want a new program. So she goes online and she brings materials, and she presented to me a curriculum which sounded more like food technologies, not nutrition and dietetics. So I said, you know, this is not nutrition and dietetics if you want to launch such a program. Well, she said, could you help? Because in 5 days we need to submit to the state this. Well, I should have asked for money, but that's not the philosophy at Hergelia. So I stayed 2 days and a night, and it was good because about 2 years before that, I asked Dr. Cannell from Loma Linda, he's the head of the nutrition and dietetics department, to come to Romania and to start, because I sense there is a niche to start in one of our Adventist school in the nursing school to start the nutrition and dietetics program. He came, we made this curriculum, and the state didn't approve. So now I was a little bit prepared for that, and I had the materials from Loma Linda, and I prepared the curriculum. So I gave the curriculum, and I told her this is what we can teach from Hergelia. I didn't know that universities has this complicated screening process in which you have to be a physician, you have to have a doctorate, and you have to be friends with many people there in order to get in. So they submitted, the program started at the university level under the umbrella of the medical school, and I never heard about them. And 2 years down the line, now the first year got to the third year, the dean called me And he said, we introduced the vegetarian nutrition classes, and nobody's vegetarian here, because many people wanted to teach that, but I told them, are you a vegetarian? They said, no, okay, you cannot teach. So he called me, and I began to teach. I discussed with him, the first thing which I did, I gave a quiz, and then I shared with the dean that they are pretty, you know, there's a big mess. Because I suspected that all the doctors, even if they had a PhD, that he didn't have background in nutrition, so it was a big mess in their heads. And I shared with the dean, and he said, well, we have nothing to do once we launch in this university something. We cannot take classes from somebody because there will be big turmoil. Let's focus on the master. So we have to do a curriculum for master. And so next semester I was expecting not to teach anything, but he called me and he said, do you remember what you said that somebody who is knowledgeable should teach introduction to nutrition, which is the first nutrition class? I said, yes. He said, I have that class for you. Well, I said, look, I have to go to Israel. I have to go. I don't have the time. And he said, you know, think about it. We really want you to teach. So I talked with my wife, with the colleagues, and everybody saw an opportunity. So I taught that class. And then beside this, he asked me to design the curriculum for the master degree, which I did. But I never in my life sit so much on a chair like from January to May this year. And it's very interesting, the whole interaction with the students. When I saw that they are interested, but they don't know what the future will hold, because there is not a legislation. The European Union has the legislation, not Romania. I encouraged them. I said, you know, you need to hope, because you are privileged. Nobody else is so privileged like you. 10 years on the line, when everything will be on the line, it will be very hard to find a job. But you will have all the doors open. So when I invited them to my home, we got close. They really liked vegetarian nutrition. They said, you know, it's the first real nutrition class we had. And so I realized that besides being a teacher, I need to do more. I realized that I need to get involved and establish a professional organization. Romania doesn't have a dietary guideline, which is like yours, published to everybody. And I sense that there is an opportunity there. And then in the last several months, that's what I did. I traveled to the United States, to Europe, to connect with the professional organizations. And right now, a lawyer is working to set up the bylaws. And then beside this, I got so carry on that there was another point to tell about. When I designed the curriculum for the master degree, I thought, you know, these students should be out in the community to do some hands-on nutrition education. So I put 2 hours each week. But then the dean said, you know, we don't have really places. If we send them in a hospital, these dietitians, they won't learn too much. So maybe some of this time, eight hours a week, some of this time we can dedicate to the same program. So we designed a program which actually means that for 5 years we will go out in the community and we will work with each one of the 180,000 people living in Târgu Mureș. We will go in the schools. And when we see we, it's not only the medical school. I'm talking now about all the churches, and first the Adventist Church. I mean, it's such a tremendous opportunity to go and be with the people and minister to them. But other churches too, and then the school system wants to join. They really want some kids to become educators to educate. And we will start this as a study. Of course, we will look to the mortality, 25 older. But, you know, kids influence what parents buy. So we will work in school also. So this is very exciting because, you know, it's such an exposure. You know, people don't come anymore to evangelistic meetings. I'm sorry to say. I don't know how you in the United States fare. But, you know, people are so moved when you are out in the community and do what Dr. Kellogg said. You know, be, do, clothe the naked, help them in the nutrition and so on and so forth. So this is very exciting. These are a few things which happen right now. And we forgot about Israel. That was the question.
I just want to say Herglia is a small institution, but has a big influence on the whole country, first on the church. My brother was very much involved in the church activity and had a wonderful influence on the church and in the community. It pays to have a sanitarium. I think that if in Romania it is working everywhere else. And also in the Spirit of Prophecy says that when a sanitarium is established, has the duty to help start other sanitariums. So Herglia is involved now in Moldova Republic, in Bulgaria, and in Israel. We don't have much time now to talk about this.
Who said that the sanitarium work is dead? Isn't this an amazing story of, I think what Battle Creek was to the sanitarium and the medical work 100 years ago in the United States, Herglia is now to the church and the worldwide health message. And first of all, I just want to thank you very much for coming and the work that you guys are doing. This is outstanding. Have a series of quick questions I want to ask you and then open it up to the floor. How long, you said a session is 10 days. What day of the week do you start?
11 days, actually.
11 days. What day do you start on? What day do you end
on? Sunday, and we end the Thursday.
And then your workers have a couple days to rest before the new group come in. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What's a daily schedule like? What time do you get people up? What time do they go to bed? What happens during the day?
Six wake up, we have nice music, and then 6:30 is the exercise, the wake up exercise, 7 o'clock is the breakfast, and then from 8 o'clock they have a small devotional, followed by the physician's lecture, and then treatments from 9 to 1 o'clock, they have different treatments in group or individual. They have 1 hour individually every day. And then in afternoon, walk, of course, 1 to 2, the lunch, walk from 2 to 3 in groups. And then, again, treatments for those who didn't get in the morning. And then in the afternoon, from 5 to 6, they have the cooking class. 6 to 7, again, the supper, and then a physician lecture in the evening.
Okay. What is the cost of a session?
Right now, it's... It's close to $600.
And what does that mean in terms of a Romanian's working wage? Would that be a half month salary, or so that people here in America can understand how much that actually?
Well, it depends which salary.
Right.
If you look at the patients coming, they are from all spectrum of the society. They are poorer. And older, the society is such that if you help your children, the children will help you. So it's very hard to say where you are. There are people who don't have an income; they still come to the lifestyle center because they help. But talking about a medium salary right now, probably it's twice.
Okay, so it's a half month salary to come for one of these.
No. 2 months.
2 months.
2 months.
2 months salary, and people still are willing to come. You
yeah.
have all your sessions filled up. The 45 workers that you have, what is the average length of time a worker stays with you? 2 years, 4 years? What's the turnover of workers at the institution?
I didn't make that, but the core people, core people are there almost from the beginning.
Okay.
So we have... We have maybe 10 or 15 people who are,
physicians in the community that are not Adventists. Are they referring to your health institute, or they don't like you? What is the relationship
to the physicians? They do. We do have patients, physicians who came as patients, and they are a great referral source
for you. And I noticed that 24% of the people that come to the program are Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. To me, that number should have been zero. Why is it that 24% of your patients are Adventists?
Well, they need pretty much the same care. We find out that many of them really don't read the books, and so their lifestyle is mm-hmm. is as it is.
Questions from the floor? Who else has a question?
These are some of the properties from Israel we were looking in the last months. This is the last one near Galilee. This is Jordan River.
So okay.
Yes.
What are some ways that you combine evangelism in the sanitarium? I mean, specifically, is it with the physician and the patient, or the workers and the patient? Like, for instance, if they're doing a treatment and the person asks, then they're able to share things. How does that work? And also, a second question is, how do you train? Do you have like an ongoing system of training the workers so they're learning more about the truth all the time?
Yeah.
To be able to be ready to give an answer to people?
Yeah, every year we have several events where they can be updated spiritually, or how should I say, they refresh spiritually. This year we had the International OCI Retreat. Right now, somebody from United States who is expert in addiction problem families there, and is lecturing to the patient, to the staff, specifically to the staff. So that's an ongoing thing. And you know, addressing your first question, our vision is not to specialize people in doing evangelism. We believe everybody should do it, and
exactly.
The physician does it, and the nurses are nurses. Yeah, the therapists are doing. They spend 1 year, one hour every day with the patients, so they better are prepared.
Good.
But then, you know, the gardener is doing the same thing. I mean, he comes in and lectures to the students. And
so it's just when the opportunity arises that they're just ready. So it's just spontaneous. I mean, it's not like they...
Yeah, but the council is very specifically, I mean, there is more council to the sanitarium than to anything else. The council is specifically when people ask to, you know, first to build on common ground, and if the people ask, don't take that as an opportunity to pour everything you know. Be very reluctant what you give to the patients, because they are anyway overwhelmed.
You said that you have group therapy and individual therapy in the morning. Is your group therapy more like a gardening, or what type of group therapy? And then if you said if they don't get individual therapy in the morning, they may get it in the afternoon. I was just wondering, during that downtime, is that just relaxing time for them, or is there suggested guidelines that you give them?
Yeah, there is little time for relaxation, because in these four hours, they have one hour of treatment, and then they have to rest some after that. And then they have also a group mobility exercise. So that's 2 hours out of four. So by the time they, you know, they don't have a lot of time. Yeah, from nine to one. Yes, they do have.
Okay. How do you deal with patients who believe that they've got to take their own medications from their own doctors, a lot of medication especially?
Well, we are not fanatics about drugs. You know, we recognize that about 70% of the drugs come from plants, but we, as a philosophy, we try to do everything in our power, our physicians, and try to do everything in our power to not to resort to medication. They come with medication, we keep them on it, or we cut down. Sometimes you don't need anymore if your blood values are coming down, they are normal. You know, just give up on that.
We're going to have to bring this session to a close. How many would just like to show by raising of hands that you've appreciated the session and the information here? Second of all.
Thank you.
Yeah. How many would like to see this happen again next year? So one of the things I'd like to do is, again, thank you for the time, the effort you've made to come over here, as busy as you are. I'm very surprised that you were able to fit us in, but we're very grateful. I'm thinking we might need to use you in a consulting capacity to help us here in America get our sanitariums kind of back on the, because the kind of explosive growth you're seeing there, to my knowledge, all of the institutions that we have here that are doing very good work are truly struggling. And to try and figure out some of the commonalities and differences, to see what we...
Well. I know we are on a very tight line, timeline, but I just wanted to say about struggling. When we started the program, we read in the Spirit of Prophecy, we need to add a farm, which was quite strange because everything was going so well, you know, the economy, everything. But we did it because everybody kind of believed in this. And for 6 or 7 years, we struggled. Every time when the bottom line was in red. But we didn't scrap it because it was written. Now the crisis hits. Now before the crisis, God sent a man. This farm manager, he's a godsend. He's a teacher for the students in the medical school. He's very good. He knows. You should come to see his. These pictures didn't make him. So he came, that improved, and then the crisis came. And just think how happy we were that we didn't scrap the program because we didn't produce money. And then you go to a conference to healthy people this year, and then you see there is a whole section on gardening, and on some cities in the United States they reverse, they don't want lawns, they want gardens now, and they even allow you to have 10 chickens and in the background. So.
On that, I'd like to ask everybody to stand as we're finishing our meeting, and I'd like to ask you to have a word of prayer on behalf of the institutions that are working currently and hoping to get going here in the States.
Our Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne, humbly recognizing that everything we are and everything we've done comes from you. These were your ideas about the postmodernistic world, and the fact that we obeyed and trusted in you, there is no merit, but it's just an example of what you can accomplish when the humans cooperate. I pray for all these institutions in the United States. We know, God, that as we were hanging on there with the agriculture, and there was a time when you honored our trust in you, you will honor also the trust these institutions in the United States have in you. Please help each one of them. They've done such a big, they've been of such a big help for each one of us. I'm thinking of Wildwood, where we've been trained, all our team. And then I'm thinking of Weimar, when we went and we learned a lot. UC Pines and all others. Please bless them, Father, and help them to find solutions. Everybody's in a crisis today, so it's no wonder they have problems, but we know that you will bless them and you will help them to continue to be a blessing worldwide. I'm also praying for those you are calling to start new work. We know as soon as somebody has this sense, there are a lot of people from outside who are discouraging, and we bring all kind of logical thinking and rational not to start it. So I just pray that you will encourage that with thoughtfulness, relying on your omnipotent power, they will start, because this is the right time to start something like this. Everything in the world, in the scientific world, in the world of nutrition, tells us that this is the work we should do. And I'm thinking about the efficiency, thinking about tens of people coming and they are so ready to receive. We cannot see that in an evangelistic campaign anymore. So just pray that people will be encouraged and they will think of you, not of us, or when they start something like this. And they will go forward with faith. And I know that you will honor that kind of faith. So thank you for this time we were able to share. And your holy name we want to praise for everything we do, and we say in Jesus' name, Amen.
This media was produced by Audioverse for Amen, Adventist Medical Evangelism Network. If you would like to learn more about Amen, please visit www.amensda.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.